Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how do we move into a new year by putting first things first, setting our priorities and knowing what they are. Now, I got to tell you that sometimes as I begin to think through the next parts of this and begin to pray over the coming weeks, every so often something hits me and I kind of go down a tangent. And every once in a while, when I have it already, I'm kind of going, I hope this works out. So this is one of those Sundays. How many of you recognize this character? Yeah, you recognize Dilbert. Dilbert is really popular in business circles. Scott Adams created this environment of Dilbert and Wally and their adventures basically in business. And Scott Adams really started that because of the silliness of things that happen in the business world. Whenever it's reflected back to you, you see kind of how silly some of the things are that we do. Well, a couple of years ago, he invited people to describe what is their job in a one sentence. Describe it in one sentence. And if possible, do it in kind of a humorous fashion that kind of describes what it is that you do. So I want you to just think right now, if I ask you, describe what you do in one sentence. All right, now just let that percolate for a little bit. But I came across a couple of the expressions, and I want to see how well you do. So if we can go to the first one, one description is that you take numbers from one piece of paper, you rearrange them, and you put them on different pieces of paper. What is your job? You're a tax accountant. You're a tax accountant, okay? Well, what about this one? You spend most of the day looking out the window. Very good. You're a pilot. You're a pilot. I like this one. How about this one? You help people hate each other. Yep, you're a divorce attorney. You're a divorce attorney. This one ought to be easy. You stand in a field and you get yelled at for hours. You're a referee. Oh, yeah. Okay, many of you know this one, although you may have not have thought of it in this way. Your job description is to be a human napkin. You are a stay-at-home mom of three. Stay-at-home mom of three. It's kind of funny when you think about it that way and just kind of look at it from a different lens. But I wanted to ask Dilbert a question. I said, Dilbert, if you were to look at Christian, that was your job description. What is your job description as a Christian? What did you sign up for? If you go to the next slide and ask Dilbert, maybe you might say, well, I show up once a week, I criticize, and then I go home annoyed. That's what we do. Is that what your job description is? Or how about this one? I like this one. You eat little pieces of styrofoam, you wash it down with a little grape juice from the world's tiniest cup. Is that what you do? Some might even say that they give unneeded pocket change in order to feel overly generous. What's your job description? Some might say, a Christian means that it's the bare minimum necessary to get into heaven. Have you ever heard anybody say, being a Christian means being a nice person? Well, here's a question I want to ask you, though. I mean, maybe some of that resonated. You know, maybe it makes you a little nervous, a little uncomfortable, going, you know, there's a theme of truth to that. But let me ask you this. Is this what Jesus died for? That job description that we just laid out? Is that what you would call good news? Is that what the martyrs suffered for over the years? And so the question is there something that we're missing? What is it that we're missing? What is it that you expect out of the term Christian? If you consider yourself this morning a Christian, I am a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, then what is it that you do? What is it that you expect? Or do you expect things from God instead of accepting the job that God has given to you? So I want to invite you to this conversation that we have this morning. That a Christian means to be fully alive in the kingdom of God. Fully alive in the kingdom. Okay? Now, what does that mean? And for the next couple of moments, we're going to focus on what is the essentials necessary? What does that mean for you to be fully alive in the kingdom? What does that mean? How do we do that? What is God expecting of us? For the last couple of weeks, we said, well, in order for us to be truly Christian, in order for us to be fully alive in the kingdom, we have to begin with God. We have to begin with His reign. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about how we can create our own joy and happiness. It's about God's mission and what we are allowing ourselves to be a part of. When you entered a kingdom in the Middle Ages, you entered under the realm of a king, under the authority of the king. When you become a Christian, you set aside your own throne, your own power and authority, and say, this is the throne, this is the king. I begin with God. I begin there. That's where my life story begins. The second thing that is equally as important is if we want to understand our kingdom and we understand what it means to be a part of the realm, we must belong to Christ and to His church, the church being the body of Christ revealed in our time. We begin with God, we belong to Christ, but then we must continue to become fully Christian. We must live that out. We must begin the process of changing our ideas and our attitudes in order to embrace fully what God is doing. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean simply some of the things that we've talked about? Well, that means just being a nice person, or throw a couple of pocket change, or just show up on a Sunday morning, criticize, and go home annoyed. What does it mean? Well, God didn't leave us empty and void. He gave us some opportunity, some description about this is what it means. This is how we live that out. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We talk about putting first things first, about allowing ourselves to say, I'm trying to become fully Christian. Fully Christian. Let's join together. We're going to look at a passage from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Moses speaking to the Israelites. This is what it means to be an Israelite. But I think it also addresses this is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to be a part of the kingdom, a part of the realm. So we want to look at this passage in depth. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. The key is beginning. The key is about beginning the journey. Now, reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 22. And now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, and the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set His affections on your ancestors and loved them, and He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning to celebrate your presence among us, to continue to be transformed by your presence, and to continue to grow in your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What then does it mean, as Moses relates it to the Israelites, as they move forward into a new and promised land? How then are we going to live in this new kingdom? How do we begin to order our lives so that we make that a priority? Because sometimes it is difficult for us in our culture to know what God is asking of us. And yet in this passage, he lays out a couple of critical points. The first thing that God says is what? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord above all things. John Stott, who was a theologian, just passed away just recently, once said that you can only fear two things in life. You either fear God and shun sin, or you shun God and fear sin. Which of those two draws your attention most? In our conversation, oftentimes we use fear as something to be like terrorized, something to be avoided. But the point of this passage is the fear of the Lord is an awesomeness, a holiness, a reverence, a sense of wonder and majesty that sometimes we lose. David in Psalm 8 was a shepherd, and he looked up into the heavens, and when he looked to the heavens and he saw all of the stars that we take for granted so often, he says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." He feared the Lord. He saw God's work in his life and all around him. And it was that majesty that drew him. It was that sense of wonder and joy that continued to pursue him. It's that thing in your life that continues to draw you, continues to pursue you. It's that great mystery about who you are and about what God is asking from you. What is that great thing in your life, that wondrous work that continues to draw you out and continues to draw you into something deeper? In Proverbs 16, it says, "Though love and faithfulness is atoned for, through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." Through that sense of wonder and majesty, we are drawn into God's presence. It's a sense of worship. When we come to worship, we sometimes just kind of float in on our timetable. What time works best for you? What music speaks to you? What format is best for you? And yet true discipleship is asking God, what is needed in my life? What represents the holiness of God most powerfully in your life? It's that fear, that wondrousness, that exploration, that sense of discovery that comes every Sunday, discovering something new. Just around the next bend, there is a new discovery to be made, something you never expected, something you never anticipated, but it's there waiting for you. And God says, "Come and let us feast together." Fear of the Lord, exploring all that God has. When you have that sense of wonder, that sense of desiring to discover something new, something wondrous, the journey has just begun. Moses looks to the people and he says, the first thing you must do is you must learn to fear the Lord. In Proverbs 8:13, fear the Lord is to hate evil. Ask yourself in your own story, is there a fear of the Lord, a desire, a hunger, a longing that draws you into God's presence? Moses says, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." And so if we want to learn about the kingdom, if we want to learn its ways and its manners, we must follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We must learn his ways. What did he do? And how can we learn from it? How can we practice that in our own lives? How do we live that out? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I'm calling my sheep, come follow me, follow my ways, walk in my ways." How do we do that? How do we learn from Jesus? Well, it's written down for you. It's a roadmap that's been given to you to learn from. Imagine that you went on a long trip and you got lost. You're looking for a certain place and you don't know where and you don't have a map. Think about how comforting it is to pull off maybe at a gas station and say, "Hey, I'm looking for the interstate." And somebody says, I know that way very well. This is exactly how you get there. I've been there. I know where you're going. To have somebody that knows the way already, that has been there, that can lay out the map for you. You see, in the Word of God, God has already spoken to you. He's already laid out the map, the journey that lies ahead. And he's inviting you to learn from it. If you want to learn the process of the kingdom, you have to read the map. You have to understand the journey. You have to learn to walk in his ways. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel is under the protection of Eli. And Samuel is serving in the temple, and God speaks to him, but he doesn't hear it. He doesn't understand what he's hearing. He's not familiar with the Word of God. And so he goes to Eli and he says, "Eli, what are you saying? Why did you wake me up?" He says, "I'm not talking to you. You're hearing something else." So he goes back to sleep. And this happens over and over again. And finally, Eli says, I think you're hearing from God." And I wonder sometimes, do we hear from God, but we think it's something else because we're not familiar with it? God is calling you to something. Maybe not a great trip to Haiti or around the world, but maybe to a mission right next door. Maybe there's somebody right next door to you. But we never hear it because we're not familiar. Finally, Eli says, "Samuel, the next time you hear that voice, invite God into the conversation." And so what does Samuel say? "Speak, O Lord, for your servant listens." Now, here's what I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to get into a regular Bible reading habit. Open up the Word, one chapter a day. You can do this. And begin each time, each study, by opening up the Word. Just put your hands on it and say, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant listens." And let God speak to you. This is His Word. This is His map. And let it speak to you. Look at the words jump off the page. Why did it say that? What is it trying to say to the people? "My sheep hear my voice." I believe you're hearing God's voice. But sometimes in the noise of our workplace and in our families, it gets drowned out. Moses says, "Fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Follow in his footsteps. Learn from who Christ is." The next one is simple and yet the most difficult. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. What does that mean to you? Does it mean just showing up once in a while and say, "Hey, I'm here"? Isn't that good enough? What does it mean to love the Lord? Somebody once explained it this way. He said, imagine that a single mother is raising her three children, doing everything that she can, getting extra jobs, coming home, cooking, cleaning for those kids, and giving them a chance. And finally, the kids begin to grow. And as they grow, they go through high school and college, and they become successful. And they're hugely successful. Now, would we say that those children would have been successful in their life if they completely ignored their mother? Never took notice, said, "Well, that was her job. I mean, she's supposed to do that. She's my mother. What else do you want? I think we would probably look back and say they were not successful in life. They didn't learn the lessons of life. If they didn't go back and celebrate the love and the sacrifice and the caring that that mother gave them through the years. And I wonder sometimes when we sit here in our sanctuary that is so comfortable and so warm, if sometimes we draw aside and say, well, yeah, but it's always been like this, right? Do we ever draw aside and say, God, thank you that you were here for me. You saw me through the difficult times. You continued to watch over me. Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. It is your life. It is your strength. It is your hope. It is your dream. It is your aspiration. It is who you are. It is the beginning with God. It's belonging to his body. It's the fulfillment of listening and loving. How do you love one another? By giving of your time, sharing that time in prayer or worship, by asking yourself, what pleases God? What is it that pleases God above all things? And then doing it. About finding what breaks God's heart and mending it. About finding a place where your gifts and your talents bloom and produce fruit, not just for you, but for God's children as well. About embracing one another, his children and his family, because this is what it means to live in the kingdom. This is the kingdom. The kingdom has already come, and it is being offered. Will you accept the invitation? Fear the Lord and walk in his ways and love the Lord. And then last, serve the Lord. Find a way to give joyfully, not only to receive the kingdom, but the kingdom flows through you. It produces. Jesus says, if you plant a seed in the ground, if you plant just one seed, guess what it does? It produces a harvest. It produces 100 seeds. It's the natural part of who we are, about coming within and overflowing to other people. It's about finding that place where your gifts and your talents cascade into other people's lives. Out of the joy of the Lord, allowing God to work within and through you to become fully Christian, to become fully like Christ. What did Christ do? Although he was equal and co-equal with the Father, he went down and he washed some people's feet. How crazy is that? Because it pleased the Father. He was in such a love relationship with God that he was willing to humble himself and wash people's feet, doing what other people would not do. Because it pleased God. So this morning, I want to ask you, in that journey of your own job description for what it means to be Christian, what does it mean to be Christian? It means to fear the Lord, to rejoice in his majesty. It means to walk in his ways, to learn from him, to take the roadmap that he's given and follow it and say, this is what it means to follow Jesus. It means to love him, to express your relationship with him by serving and caring and giving. It means to serve, to find a place that pleases God, to give something back in the name of God and feel him flow through you to be a blessing. Now, there are two options, really, to continue to live the way we always have, to kind of say, well, Christian means to, it's a title that we wear in the Western culture about where we show up once a week and we come in and we expect certain things and we look forward to certain things and then we go home pretty much unchanged. But God invites you to a kingdom, a new way of living that requires certain things of you. It invites you into a new way of being. I want to leave you with this final quote. What does it mean to live fully in the kingdom? It means to say that I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. It's about movement, about transformation, not instantly, but over time, allowing God to work, to try and explore and discover. The Christian experience should be the most liberating experience of your life, because it's not about who you were, about failures of the past, about what other people said or thought or did. It's about where you're going, about what lies ahead, and the discoveries that are just around the corner. Putting first things first means begin with God. He is your greatest joy. He is your ultimate destiny. It means belonging to Christ, to make a commitment, to make a covenant with God and His church. And it means to become fully Christian. Begin the journey of learning and transforming your own life. Putting first things first begins with you, your choices, and your consequences. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this body of Christ. We thank you for the people that belong here and continue to grow here. And Father, I just pray that you challenge us in the week ahead to learn more about who you are and this transforming experience, which is the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to continue to worship by the giving of our gifts, our tithes and our offerings.